I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake that ass up.
In the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Yep, it's the world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club. Charlamagne Tha God, Jess Hilarious. With Lil Duval as hell.
Yeah, I'm here.
Making his every 5-year appearance.
Yeah, man, I'm finally here. He's been trying to get me here for a while, but I've been pushing it off.
I think it's been 5 years, right?
Has it been 5 years?
It's the last, when the last time Duval been in, Nick? 3 or 4?
It's been that long.
It's been that long.
Well, I'm here now, man. They finally got me. I ain't had no choice.
How you feeling?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed. I can't even complain, man. I'm just here just promoting this podcast we got.
Conversations with Unc.
I've been doing, that I've been supposed to do it, but they finally got me to do it, so I'm here.
What the hell finally made you sit down and say, I'm going to do a podcast? Mm-hmm. I hate talking to him like I don't talk
to
him every day.
Yeah, I hate doing it, too.
We going to fake it.
This going to be the boringest goddamn interview. Because I'm not going to say shit. He not going to ask me shit that I don't want to talk about. So it's just, what are we doing?
But what is Conversations with Unc, though? Like, what? Like,
this is some shit that they made me do, honestly.
Damn.
Honestly, because like, honestly, since day one, Charlamagne been telling me to get in the podcast since he been, how long y'all been doing Brilliant Idiot?
11 years, man.
11 years, and I never did it, and then.
Well, you started and stopped. You had one with your sister.
Yeah, I stopped.
Okay.
Because I did that just for my sister, then I stopped, and then I got hit by that car, and I was sitting there, ain't had nothing to do, and then Clay talked me into doing this,
That's right.
I'm doing it.
How you doing since that?
What?
Since your accident.
Oh, I'm good. I can't even complain. I'm blessed, man. I healed back perfectly. I can do everything now, so I'm blessed, man.
That ain't the question you asked earlier.
What he asked? What she asked?
What I said?
I said, you ask him. I don't know.
What? I said, did you fall? So you fell off the roof or you fell
off the
on
roof?
The roof?
What she talking about?
Something about a roof.
No, I got hit by a car. I got hit by a car on my four-wheeler.
And I was on it. Yeah, okay. So I was on a tour with you. You had a whole, it was like a cartoon. It was set up. It was
dope.
Oh,
yeah. That's how far I got hit. I really got hit and flew.
Like, yeah, I really and you flew. Saw the roof and all that. Yeah. I remember seeing the roof. You seen everything. Was like you was like a plane.
Yeah, yeah. I really flew. Like, yeah, that's what okay. you see me saw the roof. Mm-hmm. I was able to see the roof. That's how high I was in the air.
Okay.
Like I flew. Like I really almost died.
And we was laughing at the shit because he actually used it. In
this
the, in
nigga
the...
here wasn't shit. I told this nigga. This nigga ain't even believe me. Clay had to call this nigga and tell
what
him.
What happened?
I called him first. Was you the first one I called?
He FaceTimed me from the scene.
I FaceTimed him. I was laying on the ground bleeding to death.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was bleeding to death.
And you called, I thought he was in a movie,
and you
man.
You FaceTimed Charlamagne?
Yes. God? I called him to tell him to call Ludacris.
He did? For what?
I don't know. He was like, man, I think this hit me. I'm never going to dance again. I'm never going to perform again.
Yeah, I said it was over, man. I kept saying it was over.
Well, first I told him to call Trey the Truth, because, you know, Trey is always there to let help and
that's when I hung up with him, and I had to call Clay, and Clay spoke life into me. Okay. This nigga here, you might as well die.
I called Clay to see what was going on, because I swear I thought he was playing until the end when I saw the doctors turning him around, and then he started like screaming in a way. I'm like...
Ooh. Everybody thought I was playing until I went live. For real. When I went live and I showed them drilling my knee live, like doing surgery, that's like, oh, this nigga ain't playing. Yeah. So,
shit, man.
But I made it through, man.
You're going to have to tell this story a million times for the rest of your life just because it is such a testimony.
I do tell it on stage. That's why I leave it on stage. That's why I ain't telling too much now because I want to leave it for stage.
I try
to give separation for both. To give a little bit here and a little bit on stage. So that's what I do now. That's why I ain't telling too much of it. But I do talk about it on stage. Actually, it kind of pushed my stand-up more because it left the elephant in the room. I ain't had no choice but to be on. I was in a wheelchair. Was you there when I
was there? Because DC had rolled you up in a wheelchair and everything.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of people showed me love. Like, matter of fact, who gave me the most love was them handicapped people. Like, in my first show, it was like 30 handicapped motherfuckers up front in wheelchairs, and they spoke life to me and everything, man.
Talking about welcome.
I'm talking about when I was messed up, like, they was DMing me, telling me, because I always showed love to them on social media and, like in Jacksonville and stuff, so when my time came, they came and showed me love. Like, I support anybody that's in the wheelchair, because it take a lot just to get up and just to get in that chair just every day. I don't see how they do it, because I couldn't do it for 6 months. I was going crazy.
That's good. You be shouting out the Crips now, but you ain't talking about
Well,
the
I shout out the Crips.
Not the gang. You be talking about the people in the wheelchair.
Oh, yeah. Shout out wheelchair gang.
As you should. But do you feel good, though?
Nah, I feel good, man. Like I said, Clay he instilled life into me, told me I was going to make it. And then the last day I got off my crutch, and he went over. So he made it all the way to get me back on my feet, and then went on over.
That's crazy. Mm.
That's life, man.
No, that is life, because the last picture Clay posted was me, you, him, and Jayski.
That's crazy,
was at Trap City.
It was almost like a movie. Like, he was really here just enough for me to get going, get back on my feet. So it was dope, though. I mean, it's a beautiful thing, but it's just I had to go through it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't regret nothing I went through.
How do you find comedy in that, though?
That's life. Everything in life is comedy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The most powerful comedy is the stuff that you went through the most, the hardest things you went through the most. So that's comedy. I don't see having good comedy without hard shit.
Yeah.
I really feel like you are one of the few people who make anything funny, or if, even if it ain't funny to other people. That's why I'm telling you, I didn't believe you either.
Why I ain't taking it serious.
And the audience was laughing like we didn't.
And the funny thing about it, I told him, I was like, when have I ever made I don't do those, you know how people be out and making fun of people?
Yeah.
I don't never do no comedy like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So for when people thought it was joke, I was like, how y'all thought it was joke? I ain't never did no spoof like this.
I guess because we don't really take nothing serious, which is
we don't.
We do not.
But I don't, and I get it. That's why I didn't take it personal. I don't take none of that stuff personal, but it just like, I was like, damn, how could they even think that I was joking? Mm-hmm. And I'm, maybe because I was doing it myself, I was really bleeding to death right there. I'm like, they don't know I'm really dying.
Yeah. But you know, the funny part is people think Duvall be joking, but a lot of the ways he moves is how we should live in life. Like, a lot of us take on other people's problems. Mm-hmm. Like, I sent him something the other day, and I was like, man, look what this person going through. He didn't respond back. And then so yesterday, we started talking about something. I said, yeah, but you ain't say nothing about such and such. And he was like, because I didn't give a fuck. And I was like, he right. Right. Why did I give a fuck?
You know? I want to say something about it, but I end up saying their name, so I ain't going to say it.
No, don't say it. Please, no. Please don't.
Nah. You've been in comedy for 25 years, right?
Yeah, this is my 25th year, man. That's really not a lot in comedy. It's just like, yeah, I think somebody like Cedric and Bruce and them, they've been doing it for like damn near 40, 50 years. How long? Even Mike Epps, shout out to Mike Epps, he's been doing it, shit, at least
probably
about 40. 30.
Nah, right, 40?
Not
if 40 I've been doing
years.
It 20, wait, I was a kid watching them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So if but, I was, shit, Michael Blackson been doing it longer than me.
We didn't realize how old they was when we was young, though.
Nah, yeah.
Or how young they was when we was young.
I've been doing it 25 years, 99.
Cause Mike ain't nothing but like 50-something.
Yeah, 50. I don't know how old Mike is. Yeah, Mike like 50-something, but he been doing it a long time.
53.
So for 25 years, sound like a long time, but it really not in comedy,
yeah, it is.
You know what I'm saying? It's really not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part of life. I love it.
Let me ask you another basic interview question. How do you feel about the state of comedy?
I don't give a fuck. I do me. I create my own lane and people follow me. So I create my own stand up, so I don't really pay. I don't judge other comedians. If people laughing at them, they doing their thing. So I don't give a fuck.
Do you care about the type of jokes you make at this point?
Nope. I makes whatever I feel like what goes. My stand up is more so entertaining. Like I call myself Sammy David Duval. Mm-hmm. So I do more than just stand up. I do stand up comedy, entertaining, laugh, dance. Yep. We gonna do everything on my shit.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like the evolution of our people are. Like, we don't want to just sit there and just watch stand-up. We think we do, but we really don't. Mm-hmm. Like, you'll sit there and watch six comedians, and everybody doing 25 minutes a piece. That's like 3 hours. You're going to be asleep if they ain't doing some type of entertaining thing.
Yeah.
So that's why I understood. So I implement that in my show and keep them going.
So it's your fault all these comedians started making songs?
He's saying that because he texts me that every week. See, that's your fault. See, that's your fault. Every time somebody do something, that's you. That's you. I mean, I am, I guess, but it's part of it. We're going to see more and more of it. It's just I'm the only one that actually perfected it and then took it to another level that made a hit song. But I see people like DC Young Fly. All they need is one song, and that shit going to take them to that next level. You know what I'm saying?
DC take it too serious, though.
No, he don't.
You don't think so? He really wanted to be an artist.
Music is what he wanted to do.
I mean,
that's
what a comedian is. We are artists. You know what I'm saying? It's just people don't know it. It's just we haven't been taught that. But I feel like all of us in one, like I always say, I mean, comedies, music, that's all entertainers was at first. Yeah. That's what Sammy Davis Jr. was. Mm-hmm. He did everything. That's what Frank Sinatra did. He did everything. So that's what it's coming back to. She do it. Everybody, who don't do it?
DC going to get it when he not trying to get it. Because you got one when you wasn't trying to get
it. Yeah,
one.
I really wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I can't talk like it. He know how I got it.
That one day. We got about 5 more years when we can really talk.
Nah, I'm going to do 10. I'm going to wait. Yeah, nah, I'm going to wait till I'm like 65.
You going to wait till 65? You going to wait that long?
Yeah, when Quincy Jones came out and started talking crazy.
He was 80-something, man.
Yeah, that's when I'm going to do it. 80 ain't that long, though, because they say in like 5 more years, everybody will be able to live forever. So if I can stay alive and not do nothing crazy in 5 years, I'm going to be good. So
you really want to live forever?
I want to live until I don't give a fuck no more.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to live, like I always, I think I said, I keep saying the same thing on this goddamn show, so it's kind of, if they watch the interviews, they're going to hear the same shit, but I want to live long enough just to see how this shit play out.
Yeah.
I want to see how life play out just to see how this shit evolve, because this shit entertaining to me.
You know, it's interesting, if we knew what was next, we probably wouldn't even be in a rush to stay here.
I do know what's next. I make what's next. You make what's next. We
I'm
all
talking
next.
About next after life.
Oh, I do know what's that too from watching people die. When I watch people down their deathbed, you know it's something bigger than this. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when I watch Kool-Aid die, when I watch him try to take that thing out of his mouth, I was like, oh nah, it's something else after. You when you see stuff like that, it makes you realize this is something bigger than this.
Mm-hmm.
What about Nod? I heard this story for the first time a few weeks ago, but I still don't believe this damn story.
What, Nod came back to life? Nod came back to life to cuss people out.
Nod is a comedian who used to be on the road with
me. Nod was the first person to give me the microphone. Mm-hmm. I took him on the road with me afterwards. And Mike Epps used to take him on the road, and I took him on the road with me. And then he died while I was in the hospital. He died while I was in the hospital, first time he died while I was in the hospital. And then we started getting money up for his funeral, and then the nigga came back to life.
How did he die the first time?
I forgot. I think he died from, he was already sick a little bit already, but I honestly don't even know how Clay died. I think it was an aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't keep up with how people die. We all gonna die, so it's, it don't really matter. But he died.
So he had a stroke aneurysm, I think.
Yeah, he might have died like that. But he died and came back to life, cussed it, got on live. It's on his live. He got on live, cussed his people out, and told them they took his money. His teeth was damn near falling out. Mm. And then he tried to do stand-up. He went to the club, tried to do stand-up, tipped them there, and then go home. Then, shit, he died.
He got married,
He got married, too. Yeah, he got married.
Damn.
So I believe that you could live long enough to do what you need to do, then take it to the next level. So he got married. I guess he wanted to get right with God.
So he was a zombie for a week, basically.
Yeah,
he only lived for a week.
No, he lived about a month.
Oh, a month.
Okay, I thought it was like a couple weeks, and then I looked at the timeline. I was like, nah, this nigga lived for like a month or two.
You've been enjoying the Drake Rick Ross feud, though.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It was better than when J. Cole's, because I was really rooting for J. Cole's, man, but then.
Why?
Why not?
Because I
knew they wasn't going to die. I knew it wasn't going to be no beef.
But I didn't think Cole and Kendrick even had an issue to want to even go at each other.
They did.
Like that.
You could tell, like, if you look back at the old stuff, like, they had, like, a little competition. So that was good enough. Like, it was lyrical warfare, and then this nigga tapped out after you gave him. It was cool. Like, even when I don't know how recent that interview was with Kendrick with Big Boy, but he was like, man.
Huh? I think that's old.
But even then, he was just like, it was competition. It was like, I mean, I don't have no beef with him. I just don't think he better than me.
Well, rap beef is different, though. Like, you can't really have a friendly rap competition.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Not nowadays.
Yes, you can. They just proved it. So you really thought Kendrick and J. Cole were going to come heads up?
No, but J. Cole was boring. J. Cole no, he was wasn't so that, whack.
I was enjoying
and
it.
And he was lying. He ain't believe none of that stuff.
Half the shit be lies. So I enjoy the half. So you thought all of what's name was saying was real? Ooh. What Tupac was saying was real?
Yes.
No, you didn't.
Tupac that I fucked
well,
you.
I did too. I did too. But I was a kid. We were supposed to believe it. Just like wrestling, you're supposed to believe that shit real until you get older.
Yeah.
Now I can enjoy it. I can enjoy it. Like, these niggas not gonna die.
But that's why Ross is so entertaining, because Ross comes from a certain era.
Yeah, Ross
and Drake
was actually
got a lot
good.
Of that in him.
I mean, I think Ross gave a real, like, beef response. And it was quick. That's why you got to give his shit props. Like, Ross gave his shit back. Like, we still ain't heard Kendrick yet. And that's what I'm rooting for.
Kendrick
he's
on
my
the
boy.
Clock.
Like, I fuck with Kendrick. He dark skin. He a Gemini.
Y'all the same
he my
height.
Nigga. Yeah, we ain't the same height.
The same
yes,
height.
Y'all live.
We are?
That's why I do.
I'm trying to think. When I met him, was he? I don't even remember. Nah, he ain't. Nah, I know who everybody
is.
I'm taller than. I know everybody. Y'all I'm taller.
You know everybody's taller. Yeah, it's everybody. Not that many people.
Nah, I'm taller than everybody that's short. Everybody that's short, I'm taller than. I'm like the tallest. I'm taller than Kev. I'm taller than who else short?
You taller than Kevin?
Yeah, I'm tall. Who else short out here? That's on YouTube. You can look on YouTube and see. We went
that.
Back and forth with that one.
Mm-hmm.
That was about 10, 15 years ago.
15? Longer, yeah. Actually. About 15.
Everything you done seen viral now, we done it 15 years ago. It just got resurfaced.
Fake rap battle.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we done that. Me and him done a bunch of skits. We was probably
don't,
the first one.
Please don't have him go looking for nothing.
Nah, don't do none of that.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't bring up none of our past. Matter of fact, you deleted any of those?
I think about one all the time. Now I'm just waiting.
Nah, delete that. Who got it? Is it on my...
I don't know where it's at.
Tell me about it once this shit over with. I'll delete it.
Did y'all hit Baltimore yet for the
We
the Ones?
We do that this weekend.
Y'all doing Baltimore?
Nah, we do Baltimore. I can't wait. Like
Baltimore
always showed me love too. Yeah. I just looked at a picture. Like sometimes I be doing shit and I don't be knowing why I do it. Maybe you could tell me where the shit at. But I was in some hood. Oh, let me see.
In Baltimore?
Yeah.
You love going to the hood.
Yes.
I do love going to the hood. I just love it. And ain't on no street shit. I just feel
like
perfect
girl.
There. Like, I feel comfortable.
I feel perfect there.
That's really what I'm here for, these
the
niggas,
hood.
Man. Like, I really feel like I'm here for these niggas, man. I love these niggas, man. But I was in Baltimore. I'll show it to you after this shit, but I was somewhere in Baltimore, and you wouldn't even, like, when I'm around, like, the streetest niggas, they don't be on that street shit around me.
Yeah, because they want to laugh.
Even just laugh. It's just like, they not even...
It's a vibe, like you relate, they relate to you.
Yeah, it's not, and I'm not like trying to be like on those street nigga shit. It's just like it just brings out I think they turn back to the being my nephew or some shit. Like they don't look at me like that. So I bring that good energy to them, and that's what I got when I went in Baltimore. I got to do that dance too when I come on stage. What's that shit y'all be doing?
The two-step Park Heights strut.
Yeah, I got to do that shit. So I'm doing that shit with my man.
Park Heights strut, it came from a hood in Park Heights.
Yeah, so I got to do that shit. And I got to do our shit that y'all call something else. We call it the City Boy, but y'all call it something else. Some shit where y'all, that shit like y'all do like that.
Oh my God, my little sister be doing
that. Yeah,
that
ain't nothing but the City Boy that y'all done renamed, but.
We ain't, I don't know. I got it from Baltimore too.
Yeah, I know
so
Baltimore.
I don't know.
We talked about it on social media. we went back and forth about it, but we go there this weekend with the We The Ones tour. That's a hard ass tour, man. Yeah. We all doing that thing.
It's you, Mike Epps, Chico, Carlos, DC, D-Ray.
Yeah, and we selling out shit too.
Money like, Mafia.
And we all showing love. Like everybody ain't no egos. Everybody doing their thing. We all encouraging each other.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
If anything, I'm the one doing the most. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I have to shorten my time up because I really be doing too much. But
yeah.
And I hate, it is disrespectful as a comedian. Like, you don't want to go over your time, especially when you got so many comedians on there. It ain't about being the funniest. It's just when you're going over your time, 3 minutes don't sound like a lot, but mm-hmm. it really is a lot. Mm-hmm. If you got five other comedians and that last person going up, he got to wait. Because I have to go up last sometime, too, and I hate going last, yeah. too. So you want to be respectful for that. But all in all, we all doing it. If I go over too much, then Mike might shorten his time, or Chico or somebody mm-hmm. like that. So we all doing our thing.
Somebody died at the show, right?
I ain't talking about that.
Damn,
go
ahead. Nigga.
He want to go straight to that.
Where?
I ain't doing that.
What you mean?
Oh, my God. Nah.
Yeah, we doing our thing, man. We don't want to talk.
Is it a comedian that you hate going after, though?
Mm-mm.
No.
Nah, I can go after anybody. I don't yeah. give a fuck. I know there ain't nobody. I can go after. People don't like going after me. Mm. But anybody that go after me, they doing their thing. That's why I show love to DC. Like all the new comedians. Well, they not even new no more, but all the ones that came up after me.
The younger ones. Yeah.
Yeah, the younger ones, if they can go up after me, they the truth. And all them niggas go up after me and they all do their thing.
Yeah.
You wanted to, you know, people be wondering how you stay so relevant on social media, but you were the social media guy early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all was. You was too. You know what I'm saying? We all was. It just, we grandfathered in that, so ain't no stopping me on social media. Yeah. You can try. Mm-hmm. They done deleted me so many goddamn times. It is what it is at this point.
How has social media helped you as a artist?
Just like anything else, it's just another form of way of doing entertainment, just another outlet. Mm-hmm. So I just took that outlet and capitalized off of it, mm-hmm. just like whatever next. If I mm-hmm. give a fuck, I'm going to jump on that too. Mm-hmm. As if I give a fuck, but I'm getting older now. You know what we done talked about.
Is there anything you want to do that you haven't?
I feel like I'm doing what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've already planted the seeds of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just watching the bitches flourish and mm-hmm. doing everything. And I don't like to talk about what I'm doing. I just like to do it now.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about it, it kind of takes the impact from it.
Duval, one of them people that truly appreciates everything he has. That's mm-hmm. why he gets blessed with more. That's the problem with the era we live in. Nobody appreciates where they at in the current
And everybody
moment.
Just do what they see work. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? That's what made it so hard for me to get in the podcast now, is because I feel like podcast is... it's just another, I mean, it's good, but it's like what you do. It's media. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like when we started, that was our thing. I don't want to do what he do, and he don't want to do what I do. It's just now that entertainment has evolved over to more media now, not everybody doing it. So I feel like that's what we got to do. Well, I don't give a fuck about media like that. And that's what, we are entertainers. Mm-hmm. We not media. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
But Jess is now.
Well, yeah, you are now. You are, and you good at it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You good at it, but this ain't, I could do this shit, but I really just like entertaining. I like just being in the public. I'm a social person. That's what social media, he media, I'm social. Mm-hmm. I'm social. That's why we work good together. I'm still social, he's still media, just media is popping now.
Yeah.
And that's why everybody else going to it. That's why I ain't working for them, but it worked for people like this nigga, because this is really what he is, you know?
I'm 25 years in.
Yeah, and they trying to skip the line, but they ain't gonna do it. They keep trying, they'll mm-hmm. see.
We had Gerard Carmichael on.
Yeah.
He said, he said comedy is a dying art. What are your thoughts about that?
It just evolved, you know?
Yeah.
It just evolved. We look at stand-up, because that's all we got, but stand-up mm-hmm. is damn near like the blues, I mean, like jazz now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's still there, but it's evolving to the shit that I'm doing now, the shit that social media now, you know what I'm saying? Even though they ain't comedians, but we program motherfuckers over 15, 20 years of social media to make them think that they comedians, so the public think that's comedians. Mm-hmm. So that's just all it is. I don't see no difference. I mean, stand-up is stand-up, and it just evolves into something else.
Is it an attentive audience at y'all shows? Because you got you got DC, all these people.
It is the way we do it. Okay. You know, the way we do it, you make it attentive. At least the way I do it, you know what I'm saying? I make sure the whole show good. I try to make the balance to where it's a good time, where we having a comedy party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, party. Yeah,
it's a comedy exactly party. You know what I'm saying? So when say for instance, if you ain't into the party part, you can be in the comedy part. If you ain't in the comedy part, you can be into the what I just said.
The party part. Like the party party.
Yeah. So
the
I'm just party? Both. I give it all and shit. That's what it is.
So you like party party?
I like to have a good time. Like I want to have everybody go home and say, man, we had a good time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to go to another show. Yeah. You know, and that's all it is. That's what you go to, that's what you went to comedy clubs for.
Mm-hmm.
It's just evolved now because we done seen so much comedy that that same comedy ain't going to work no more. Just like on social media, like certain little jokes used to work. Now, over 10 years later, them same jokes ain't going to work no more.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to, it's the same thing.
Well, we happy that you decided to come here this morning so you don't get fined, man. We appreciate you, man.
I appreciate y'all. I appreciate Black Effect and you and Dolly for being patient with me because they been gave me the money for this shit. I don't even know if I got them. I think Clay got it.
Clay definitely got the money. Well,
so I don't even know if I even got all of it. But
Clay wanted it to be all of y'all.
Honestly, that's really the real reason why I did it. It's just because Clay, me and Clay was supposed to do this together. You know what I'm saying? So once he died, I just feel like it's my obligation to do this because, I mean, I was really doing it for him to – he. You've been telling me to do it, and I've been pushing this nigga off forever. Yeah. And then once Clay started talking to me, I was laying on that goddamn bed. I ain't had shit else doing.
Mm.
I was like, all right, I'll do it. And once we started talking about it and he started talking about what he wanted to do, it started making more sense to me. And then he died.
I've been telling you, you've been working too hard.
Yeah, I really have.
Like, people out here stealing money, but no, you want to.
It's kind of hard. I just like doing what I do. It's hard for me just sitting here and see this as entertainment, just sitting here rambling. And that's all a podcast is to me.
Mm-hmm. But maybe you had to just chill out. Maybe you.
I mean, I do it now. I mean, and I see the impact of it just with my show. I just seem like it's doing pretty good. So I guess I was supposed to do it. Like, a lot of stuff I don't like to do, but I do it if my friends and family tell me I should do it, and a lot of that type, of stuff has actually worked in my favor. So I listen to people that I trust, which is people like this nigga and people like Clay and niggas like that.
You got guests?
Yeah, I got guests on there
every episode.
Yeah, it's every episode.
It's him and we ain't even tell people what the podcast is about, but it's him in like conversation with different people.
Yeah, it's just me talking to people. People talking to me, trying to ask me for advice, and just ask me advice on life, not on business, not on entertainment, just regular life stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think we got enough gurus on goddamn business and how to get money, and we see where that took us.
You not a fan of seminars?
Hell no. Nah. You know that. I don't get enough credit for how much shit I done turned down from not fucking over our people.
I hit him a couple. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't gonna say nothing.
Yeah, man, let's be quiet.
See, y'all two goddamn censored for an interview.
No, I am just
censored now. It's just not so much for me. It's just I understand how, especially nowadays, people looking for shit to grab.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I ain't finna give it to them. I've never been a nigga to try to go viral. It just
happened.
Yeah.
You know, so you won't get it. Downstairs, motherfucker TMZ just tried to run up on me. I sang a gospel song to his ass. She ain't know what
they ask you about?
I don't know. I just started singing gospel. I said, God is on my side.
And she walked away.
And she was like, what the fuck? She didn't know what to do.
Well, listen, download Lil Duval's Conversations with Unk, available everywhere you listen to podcasts. Go check out the
Hold on, what else am I forgetting?
The Weedon Ones Comedy Tour.
Weedon Ones Comedy Tour.
You got the Rich Broke Store in
Jacksonville. Rich Broke Store. Yeah, I just opened up. Well, I ain't opened it up yet. I'm building it right now. She be opened up by the time the Weedon Ones Tour hit Jacksonville.
We on in Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's over there on the north side on Bunker Hill, right off Edgewood. If you're from Jacksonville, you know what it is. So it's right
man.
In the hood. You know, I did that just for my community, just to have a storefront for everybody to come show love. And I'd be selling like my merchandise, my old latest little lip gloss and stuff she got going on, a little healing cream, the stuff to heal all the scars that are on my body. So. Mm-hmm. And what else I got?
Did you Duval learn a
Day.
Lot of that stuff
Duval
work?
Day on July 13th. I do Duval Day. Y'all come on
in
down.
And,
that's some hood shit. Like if you remember Black College Weekend or Freaknik, it's like that, but safer. And you won't go to jail for doing nothing crazy.
You had Sexy Red out there early.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Was there like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Now that was last year.
That was last year?
Yeah. That show you how much a year can change, man. A year could change. Like, I just knew when I saw her on social media, I was like, nah, she next. And then when she came to Jacksonville, and I saw how Jacksonville bitches was receptive to her, I was like, oh, nah, she finna go somewhere. Because she represent really what the street said, and she done apologetic. Yeah. And what was really the hardest thing about it, what I respect her, cause when she had that baby, she didn't get her body done. And that's what a lot of people connected with her. She ain't get a body done, so she was just like a real hood bitch.
Yeah.
So I fuck with her.
Did you realize all that healing cream and stuff worked when you was going through You a healing brother?
Hell no. Nah. I realized I did everything, man. Everything Dolly told me to do, everything. I tried.
Dev.
Dev. Shout out Dev, man. Dev, she spoke to me and she did all that stuff that she do. All that shit
Rinky,
was,
man.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, Rinky. I don't know the terminology, none of that shit, but all that shit worked, man. So anything that I tell y'all to do that worked for me, it kind of worked. Right. Let me tell it.
And you see you made the wall.
I did?
Yeah, you right up there next to Dick Gregory.
Oh, nah, that's hard, man.
You see what I'm saying?
Right above Sweetie.
That's love, for real, though, because I done a lot of these arenas. Like, we've been to all these arenas. Yeah. And I looked at it, I was like, I ain't know none of that
this
shit.
This is a radio station, man.
Yeah, that shit, because I don't really pay it. I don't never ask for that type of shit. I never went to the comedy club, and I done sold out every comedy club in America.
Yeah.
And I never wrote my name on the wall. I never do none of that shit, because I never did it for that.
Oh, damn, no, you never signed and none of that
None of that shit. But then when I got hit by that car and I started looking at all, I was like, damn.
Yeah,
I should have did all of that shit. I started saving all my jerseys that I got from the arenas.
He got the what you said?
I think you got the shades you got on now. I think.
I do. I see all these on richbroke.com too. These Rich Broke shades. These bitches hard.
Yeah.
So yeah, man.
Lil Duval, ladies and gentlemen, we squeezed 40 minutes out of this one. I don't know how.
Hold up. Wait. There's a problem with this picture.
Why?
You got me right there. Mm. But look at Kev. His whole body. That's fucked up.
Which,
but it's just your head, and that's Kev's whole
body.
Yeah,
but
I
want my
same
whole
size.
Body. Like, this nigga got this. He's sitting down. He leg kicked
because,
up.
Because he bought chairs for the studio years ago.
Oh,
so that's what that
no
symbolizes.
Money.
Him sitting on the chair swinging his leg.
I ain't spend no money. All right, cool.
You know what's crazy? Look, try and find me. Where I'm at.
Yeah, where you at?
Yeah. Just keep looking. We got a couple more minutes.
Because everybody always putting that chair there. That's why you don't.
Oh, nah. Yeah.
You see it right next to.
He gave you a hint and shit.
Right next to Keith Lee.
Yeah, right behind the engineer ass and shit.
They gave you no edges, Jess.
No edges.
She didn't have none at the time.
Yes, I did. That was a fucking frontal. How I ain't going to have no edges on the
frontal?
Oh,
is that tip or gunner?
That is Keith Lee.
I'm talking about right there.
Yeah, that's next to me. That's Keith Lee. The nigga will be doing the food.
That's Keith Lee.
Yes.
No, it's not. That's T.I., man.
Who is that?
That's Tip.
That's Tip?
Yes, man.
I thought that was Gunner. I didn't know who the fuck that was. Show that. Show that for them. Show that. You the cameraman now? That's a new cameraman?
No.
That's my cameraman.
That's
the cameraman.
Oh, that's your cameraman. Oh, this is a new cameraman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Lil Duval. It's The Breakfast Club.
All right. Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.